Parshas Kisavo Tavshin Peh. So this week's Parshas Shir should be the Zechus or Refuah Shleima for a young woman who needs Rachmei Shemayim. Her name is Ruschaya Moria Bas Shoshana Miriam. And so Shar Chal Yisrael, she should have Refuah Shleima Bekar of Mamish in the Zechus of our learning Torah tonight. So this week's Parsha is really, really important. And hopefully we will highlight why it's so important. The main themes of the parsha are really Hakaras HaTov to Hashem, and we'll discuss that, and really possibly the most important element or ingredient in our Avodas Hashem in general is mentioned in this week's parsha, and we'll discuss that as well. And it's actually hidden and buried within the Tochacha, and we learn it from there. And obviously the Tochacha is here, and it's a very long, and it's also a very terrifying part of the Torah that we read in this week's Parsha with the Tochacha, in a much longer version than what we read in Bichul Kosai. But there's really these elements of Hakaras HaTov, of various mitzvahs that are mentioned, are really, really important, and important of Onur Vos Hashem for the time that we're in. So it really starts off, Moshe tells Bnei Israel that when they get into Eretz Israel, so you know, they have to go ahead and bring the Bikurim in the Beis HaMikdash, and they have to go ahead and say Mikra Bikurim. They have to make a declaration, say some declaration when they bring it, you know, expressing Hakaras HaTov to Hashem for everything he did for you. And afterwards, it talks about the different maestros, Maestro Ani, Maestro Shani, goes through everything, Maestro Rishon, and talks about, you know, just the different brachos and the klolos again of Har Grizim and Har Eval are brought down. Vidui Maestro, sorry, is mentioned by the maestros and stuff. We'll talk about that tonight a little bit. But back in Parshas Re'eh, he spoke about the brachos and the klolos, and Har Grizim and Har Eval is brought up again in this week's Parsha. Moshe reminds Bnei Yisrael that Hashem chose them as the people, and they in turn chose HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that there's a relationship that's there and that exists. And then the Psukim go ahead and describe the Tochacha. First it goes to the Brachos, what will happen if we do keep the Torah, all these wonderful things that were promised, and then Chas V'Shalom, if we turn away from the Torah, we turn away from the Ribono Shalom, so all these terrible klolos and this the rebuke is given of illness and famine and poverty and galus and exile, all these terrible things that's going to befall us if we chas v'shalom turn away from the mitzvos. And Moshe concludes, you know, by telling the Bnei Yisrael that they are here, and they've attained now after their birth, like as a nation, this ability of a heart to know, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, and to go ahead and to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's start off tonight with an idea of the you know, the beginning, the Maisa Bikurim, talk about Bikurim for a little bit. So it's really, I don't have all the Psukim here, but I just Pasuk Gimel in Perikov, but the Pasuk starts by Yaki Sevel El Haaretz Asher Adonai Elohecha Nosi En Lecha Nachala V'Yishtav Yashavta Ba. Right, that when you go, it will be when you come into Eretz Yisrael, which Hashem gives you as an inheritance, and Achla was promised to the Avos, right? And now it's passed down, and now we're finally getting it. And you possess it, you shall settle in it. Pasuk Beis, V'lakachta mirishis kol pri adama asher tavi mi'aretz echa, asher adonai lecha nosein lach v'sam tav atene, v'alach dan makom asher yivchad, v'alach lach shakin shemo, sham. So mitzvah bikurim, you shall take of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you will bring from your land, which Hashem your God is giving you, and you shall put them into a basket. So you take the fruits, you put them in a basket, and you go to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Makom HaMikdash, to the place which Hashem will choose to have His name dwell there. So our Makara start off, Pasuk Gimel Tazos Vasa La Kohen Asheya by Mahem Ve'Amarte Lav Higadeti Ayil Nadan Alecha Kivasi Alarz Asher Nishpat Anay Vasinu Lasislam. That you go ahead and you tell him that you tell the Kohen that I declare this day to Hashem, that I've come to the land which Hashem swore to our forefathers to give us. And, you know, you go ahead, and the Kohen takes the basket, and the whole Maisa Bikurim goes on. So if you look, Rashi kind of hints already as to the fact that the Amarte Elav, Rashi points out, She'incha kafoy tova, that you're not a kafoy tova, that a person, the whole purpose of Bikurim, Rashi is highlighting, is that a person has to go ahead and realize that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem gave you these beautiful fruits that you have, And instead of enjoying the first fruits and eating them, instead we're makir tov to the Ribono Shel Olam. Not just that we're eno kafoy tov, but we're mamish makir tov. That we realize the source of where it comes from. And that's really, as we'll see soon, what the Chinuch also mentions is the whole purpose of Maisa Bikurim. Is this idea of this underlying fundamental concept of being makir tov. So these days we don't have Bikurim, you know, unfortunately. We don't have Beis HaMikdash, but we do have so many things that the Ribono Shel Olam gives us. And we need to really learn the lesson from the Bikurim of Hakara Zatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all everything we have, all the brachos, all the goodness, all the parnasa, all the food. You go to the grocery store, you buy food. You have to understand this is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the purpose of Bikurim. If you look in source number two, so later on, the Pasuk says, V'samachta v'chol hatov, that you have to be happy. You should rejoice with all the good that Hashem gave you. Asher nasal lecha Adonai lehecha. Uluveisecha atava leviv ager asher b'kirbecha. You have to be happy with everything. And here, the Rashi quotes from Chazal, that mikan amru ein karin mikra bikurim ela bezman simcha me'atzeres ve'atchag. That you can only actually read the Bikurim, I think you were able to bring the Bikurim anytime, but you're only allowed to read the Mikra Bikurim at a time that's a time of Simcha. It had to be a time of happiness in order to go ahead. There's two elements. There's bringing the Bikurim, and they're saying these Mikra Bikurim. To say the Mikra Bikurim, it had to be Zman Simcha, which was only from Shavuos until Sukkos. Because the She'adam Melaki Tvuasov Hirosov V'yeno V'shamano 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 Aval me hachag ve'eloch mevi ve'no kare. Right, from Sukkot onwards, so a person's not in a state of simcha because he didn't gather in all his crops at that time, and so he brings the bikurim, but he doesn't recite the maisa the mikra bikurim. So if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch, just a beautiful chinuch that we have to quote on this mitzvah. He says, "Mishar she'a mitzvah, mitzvah tafrei shvav, d'fi she'adam me'orer machshevoso v'mitzayer b'levavo." Ha'emes b'koach divrei fiv, right? Person goes ahead and awakens the thoughts in his mind, and draws up in his heart the ha'emes b'koach divrei fiv, the emes in the way that he in words that are gonna he's gonna say. Al kein behetiv elav Hashem baruch hu ubercho soves adamoso laasos peros. So he goes ahead that and realizes Hashem was good to him and gave him the brachos. And the adama that he has to the farm to work the land to develop peros, v'zocha lahavion lebeis Eloheinu. And now he's zocha, person is zocha to go ahead and bring them to the Beis Hamikdash. Roy lo la'ir levava b'divrei piu, v'lachshov ki hakol yigia elav me'es Adonai Olam. It's appropriate and fitting at the time. The purpose of Bikurim is that Hashem gave he's the bestower of the ultimate kindness and goodness. He gave us the ability to grow peros, to have the farm. The land, to work the land, the ability to harvest. And now we take them and we show, Ki HaKol Higia Eilav Me'es Adon Olam. Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything, it all came from Hashem. And that's the whole idea, the fundamental yisod of Bikurim is this idea of Hakara Satov. And Hakara Satov in general, obviously, Ben Adam L'Chavero is very important to say. It's an appreciation, a gratitude, a thank you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, not just that he's an ATM machine, that we daven Hashem, I need this, please help me with this, someone's sick, please give them a refuah shlema. But we're makir tov for all the goodness that Hashem does for us as well, and that's the whole purpose and the yisod of the mitzvah of Bikurim according to the Chinuch. And according to Rashi as well, she'in cha kafoy tova, that you're not a kafoy tova, you're expressing with words the thanks and the shevach to Hashem. And I've heard quoted as well, you know, different people have different ways of journaling each day. So if the cheshbon nefesh, some people, you know, really sit down, do a cheshbon nefesh, gedolim maybe, and then maybe some other people who are very special. But some rabbonim suggest and psychologists suggest every day write down three things, you know, that you're thankful for that day. Three things that happened that day that happened to you that you're makir tov for. And you realize you become a happier person. They're all the Hakaras HaTov and the Simcha is connected, and we'll talk about Simcha more. But that's really a person wants to be b'Simcha. If you're makir tov to others and to Hashem for everything you have, so that's really how a person can be b'Simcha. They realize how much good they have in their life and how others give to them, and they can be in a state of happiness. So that's really just to start off the night. One idea on Bikurim, and We'll move on now to the next source in source number 4. So Perikot Vav Pasuk Yigimel tells us V'yamarta Lifnei Adonai Elohecha. So you go ahead. So now this is moving on. One second. Okay. Right. The whole Mikra Bikurim, it kind of like goes like a Jewish history story. You tell everything. Then it says. And then we have Vidoy Meiser right afterwards. And after you go in Pasuk Yibayz, right afterwards it says, you know, Kisachal Laaser is Kol Meiser Tuvascha Bashana Ashlishis Shnasa Meiser V'Nasata Laivi V'Lager LaLivi LaGer LaYasam VeLaAlmana VeAchlu V'Sherecha V'Saveyo. So you go ahead and you did all the Meisers properly. So this is a separate concept. So we spoke about Bikurim, but now there's also something called Vidoy Meiser. After you give all the Meisers, so you go ahead and you the Amarta Lefnei Adonai Elohecha Bi'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. You go ahead and you say before HaKodesh Baruch Hu that I've removed the entire Kodesh from my house, meaning all the Meisers, everything that I had to give, which was sanctified, I gave to everyone properly. V'gan Nisativ LaLivi V'Lager LeYosim LaManak Chachol Mitzvastecha Asher Tzivisani LaAvarti V'Mitzvastecha V'Lo Shachachti. See, you go ahead and you say this vidoy. Vidoy, which we'll speak about, is generally translated as confession. You're going ahead and confessing. You're right. And Rosh Yom Kippur's coming up soon, and we're gonna have vidoy. We're gonna have vidoy by slichos. See, you go ahead and hashamnu bagadnu. You go ahead and you confess that which you did wrong. So the big question that Mefarshim try to figure out here is, well, what exactly did you do wrong? You're going ahead, you're saying, I removed all the kodesh from my house, I've given to the levi, to the ger, to the orphan, to the widow, to everyone, just as you commanded, and I didn't transgress any of your mitzvos, and I didn't forget them. So this is a jam-packed pasuk. A couple of things we need to look at. First of all, what's the law of arti mitzvosech? I didn't transgress any of your mitzvos, lo shechachti, and I didn't forget. Well, if you didn't transgress them, yeah, you obviously didn't forget them, you did them. So what is lo shechachti adding? Also, what is this whole idea? Why is it vidoy? Why is it called a vidoy? It could be called a mikra meiser, just like bikurim. You're not saying anything bad. What's this idea? The Chazal had this idea of vidoy, that you're confessing something. Where is the something bad, or is there something bad, or not bad, but something that wasn't done properly? Was there something done that wasn't appropriate? So if you look at Rashi. Says v'lo shachachti milavarecha al parshas meisros. Then I went ahead milavarecha al parshas meisros. I went ahead and I said the proper brachos on the brachos hamitzvos on separating meisros. Okay, so that's what Rashi says, and it's interesting that Rashi says that because I mean it's obviously a chazal, but this is Torah Shevach Zavis that's talking here. V'lo shachachti I didn't forget to say the brachos, but the brachos, all brachos hamitzvos, as far as I know, are midirabanan. Birchos hamitzvos are midirabanan. The only brachos we have that are daraisa at all are benching and maybe birchos haTorah, maybe one sheet or a few sheet, two sheet, this whole dalat mechia maybe, but not really. I don't think we pass in that way, but benching for sure. But birchos hamitzvos that are daraisa lo shachachti. So that's what Rashi says. So we have to understand this a little better. So the next pasuk, and we'll get to all these questions, but let's just look at the next pasuk. So Lo achalti, the psukim keep going on. Lo achalti ve'oni mimenu. I didn't eat of any of the ma'aser sheni while I was in a state of aninus. V'lo vi'arti mimenu betameh. Nor did I consume any of it while I was tameh. So meaning I did everything right. I didn't do it while I was an onin. I didn't do it while I was tameh. V'lo nasati mimenu lemes. I didn't use it for any purpose for a dead person. Shemati b'kol Adonai Elohai. I listened. I did everything God wanted. I listened to everything He said. Asisi k'chol asher tzivisani. Again, I did according to all He commanded me. So again, what is this concept of vidoy here? Where's the vidoy? So if you look at the Mishnah Rishayna on Maseches Vayis Hasheni, is a commentary on Mishnayos. So he goes ahead and he suggests what the problem was that with this person, the way he did it. So he says as follows, and we'll look in the middle. I did not underline it, but he says, sorry, one second. So he starts it, if he goes ahead, he's commenting on the Mishnah. I was going to put the Mishnah in, but it was a little technical. But he goes ahead, he says, Elo shehavidohi lemi shehishe hamatonos etzlo. He says, this vidoy is said by a person who what? Who's mashed the matonos by him. Meaning, he held on to the maestros longer than he should have. Yes, he gave the maestros properly, eventually. But, he didn't give them right away. Velo hifrishon. And he wasn't mafresh them right away. Oh, hifrishon velo nasanam lebaalehen miyad. So either he had the food and he waited, he just delayed on doing the hafrasha and then gave them, or he did it, hifrishon velo nasanam lebaalehen miyad, but he didn't give it to everyone at the right time. He held on to them. He delayed in doing the mitzvah. And so the Mishnah Rishona is telling us that even though he did everything else properly, this person, and it's interesting that this is the paradigm, this is the example in the Torah. I'm not really sure why. Maybe the Torah Al Drush, you know, is teaching us that people make mistakes. It's okay. You should obviously strive for shleimus and try to do everything perfect. But it could be teaching us two lessons. First of all, people aren't perfect. If you do 99%, that's not perfect. There's an element that's lacking. And it's really not okay. You need to do a vidui meiser to go ahead and admit that, yes, I did everything Hashem said. I gave them all properly. I teethed properly. I took everything. I gave everything I was supposed to give. But I was lacking in one aspect, and that was doing it quickly. And so even though you did 99%, but you didn't do 100. You're not perfect. And a person has to say vidui. A person has to realize and admit when he's not perfect. And it could also be so not only is the Torah telling us that he didn't do it, Hashem is teaching us a lesson that people make mistakes, and it's okay to make a mistake. And what do you learn when you make a mistake? You fess up, you say you're sorry, you say a vidui. So maybe that's the reason too. It's not just that it wasn't perfect and people make mistakes, but also when you make a mistake, you have to go ahead and say a vidui. So that's the Mishnah Rishonah's pshat. And if you look, it's actually mefurish in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kechol mitzvasecha asher tzivisani," like your commandments that you commanded me. Kechol, not I did your commandments, but I did it like. So some of the Bali Muslim Mepharshim point out the ke of kechol is teaching us that something was lacking, something was missing. Yeah, albeit something small, a delay in a mitzvah, but everything else was done perfectly. But the fact that you delayed in doing the mitzvah is still something that warrants a vidui meiser. And so I think that's one idea from the Mishnah Rishona, and something that we need to think about ourselves, and you could learn the idea of vidui in general, the idea of owning up to our mistakes, whether it's benodim l'chavero, or the two hardest words, I'm sorry, or like, and to feel it and to mean it, but to go ahead and to not delay in doing a mitzvah. We see here that something that's delayed, it's not done b'shleimusa. It's not done perfectly. If you don't have zrizus and you procrastinate for whatever reason, so then the mitzvah, even if you did everything properly, kedasu kedin halachically, it's not done in its fullest and best form to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. If it was something that was so important to us, we wouldn't delay. So that's one lesson we can learn from this pshat of the Mishnah Rishona on vidui meiser. If we look in source number 6, there of Soloveitchik had a wild and different pshat based really on a Tosfos, and Tosfos says that then, I think it's in Yuma, that there was nothing done wrong. Vidai Meiser doesn't mean that the person did anything wrong. They did nothing wrong. Kechol, okay, it says Kechol. But that the person read Rupsukim, the rest of Psukim, I didn't do anything. I did exactly as Hashem asked me. I did exactly what Hashem wanted. So then what's Vidai? Why does he have to say anything? So Soloveitchik has a beautiful, beautiful vayar. I want to spend like a few minutes on this because it's a huge yisod in life. So Soloveitchik writes as follows. This formula is known as vidui meiser, the confession of the teeth. Pre-confession, the title confession, he says, is not fitting for this parsha. We know that confession stands for, right? What's confession? We confess that we have sinned, transgressed, erred. Yom Kippur confession is an act of merciless accusation and self-condemnation. Yet in this statement, there is no account of sins, but to the contrary, you're saying you did mitzvos, you did good deeds. The Jew boasts that he has not violated even one order, and that he's fulfilled the mitzvah of Maiseros to the letter, according to all your commandment that you commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I obeyed Hashem, I did according to all you commanded me. So why is this formula referred to as a confession, asked Soloveitchik? How can the praise of man simultaneously be the confession of man? The praise of the fact that the person followed everything, all Tziva Hashem, perfectly, is also considered to be a confession. How does that make sense? Says Soloveitchik, a basic principle of Jewish thinking regarding repentance and confession is reflected in this nomenclature. Repentance is predicated on two principles. First, so he's talking about tshuva. What is tshuva? First, tshuva is on the power within men to be able to accuse themselves, on their ability to think of themselves as unworthy and inferior. In our declaration in Yom Kippur, and you are justified for all that befalls us, for you have acted faithfully and we have acted wickedly, emerges the expression of self-accusation. So we accuse ourselves that we're unworthy, we're inferior, we don't deserve it. Second, on the ability of each individual to cleanse himself, to comprehend the boundless hidden spiritual powers which are found in the human personality and which propel one in the direction of return to Hashem, on the ability of man to elevate himself to majestic heights even after he is sunk into the abyss of impurity. So the idea of that a person can return, he can come back, he can purify himself even if he was extremely impure. The second principle is just as important as the first. A man obviously cannot engage in tshuva if he doesn't have the boldness to admit that he has sinned. How can you do tshuva if you don't have the strength to be able to say, I made a mistake? Without recognition of the sin, there can be no regret. Yet there can be no commitment for the future if the man has no faith in his ability to rise above his sins that he committed. If he believes he is helpless and subservient to natural mechanical forces which pull him downward, if he is not convinced of the freedom of the human creative act, then he cannot feel his own guilt and he will not change. If man looks upon himself as an impotent creature, then the position of the sinner is helpless. So Soloveitchik is basically saying that both of these points are so important for tshuva in general. You have to be bold enough to admit that you sinned, and at the same time you need to recognize, and because if you don't, then you can't regret it. But there also, you have to be able to commit to the future and believe that you can change, and that you have the ability to rise past what you've done previously. Says Soloveitchik, every confession expresses itself in the outcry, I am black and I am beautiful, or daughters of Yerushalayim. It's a pasuk, I think, in Shashirim. Songs. Song 1:5. Unless we see the beauty, we are unable to discern the blackness. The sinner must view himself from two antithetical viewpoints, the nullity and being the greatness of being. You have to have, right, but it's mamish, like opposites. It's living a life of a paradox, which is really what the whole Torah is in a certain way. Thus, the praise of man, just as his shame, is a part of confession. Part of vidoy is going ahead and praising yourself, says Soloveitchik. I obeyed the Lord my God, I did according to everything he commanded, is considered a vidoy. Man declares through the recital of these verses that he's willing to live in accord with the will of the Sovereign of the universe, to live a life of sanctity and purity. If he has manifested his power to fulfill the will of the Holy One, blessed be he, in fulfilling this mitzvah, then Hashem has a right to demand that he demonstrate this strength under all circumstances. Wow. So Soloveitchik is saying that the reason it's vidoy, vidoy is not only when a person has to confess a sin, but it's confessing also the good. It's saying the good. It's saying the good, and when you have to work on yourself, and when you need to confess an avera. And that's why it's called vidoy meiser. So a person needs to give himself a pat on the back. Needs to say shkoyach to myself. I did it right. Right? We hear a lot of times. Okay, you know, we have to work on this, and we hear drushos and shirim. Gotta always change. Okay, but we also have to be proud of our accomplishments. We also need to be able to say to Hashem, look at what we did. Look at what I did this morning. Look at how much chesed I did. Look at how I went to shul. Look at how I went to minyan, even though I had to wear a mask the whole time and it wasn't comfortable and I was outside and there were flies and mosquitoes and it started raining a little bit and I got a little wet. And we need to be able to say that to Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a two-way street. It's not just vidoy for chatayim. It's vidoy also for the mitzvahs that we do. It's a vidoy mitzvahs in a certain way is what vidoy meiser is. And it's a beautiful idea from Soloveitchik on the concept of vidoy meiser. It's a different angle, obviously, almost opposite from what the Mishnah Rishona writes. But it's a whole new way of understanding it. Says this fast emesis, source number 7. So he says a beautiful idea also, kind of just going back on this idea of lo shachachti. Rashi says that when the person says, by vidoy meiser to Hashem, that I did all the meisers, I separated all them properly and gave them out properly. So I didn't forget to say the brachos on the mitzvah of separating the maisos. Mashatole habracha bezeki iker kiyama mitzvah asoso besimcha of the ahava. Says the Sfas Emes, and we're going to see, this isn't just the Sfas Emes, this isn't just the Chassidish idea. This is the Torah Shebichsav that is telling us how to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Chassidim aren't the ones that created this idea of Simcha be'avodas Hashem. To be the Simcha in our avodas Hashem, we'll see tonight, is Mamish Mufurish, the key and Yesod in all of avodas Hashem. Says the Sfas Emes right here, though, that the Iker of Kiyam Amitzus is to do it with a love and a happiness. Kefi mashe mishteike ka'adam kol hayom l'kayim mitzvahs kach yachol la'asaisem be'emes. The person desires to do mitzvahs all day long. He wants to do them in truth. Lachein makdimin bracha. So he says, what's the purpose? This fasemes is really many years later than I think the way the Ritva explains it in Nodi Yehuda. What's the purpose of saying a bracha, brachas ha-mitzvah? Lachein makdimin bracha el ha-mitzvah laharos ha-chavivus v'zeh ha-chana el ha-mitzvah. The purpose of saying any bracha before we do a mitzvah, the purpose of saying a bracha before we put on tefillin, before we put on our tzitzis or our talis in the morning, before we, you know, a woman lights candles for Shabbos, before any mitzvah that you do throughout the day, is to show Hashem how much we love Hashem, we want to do this mitzvah, and to get us ready and prepared in that frame of mind, that mindset, to have the proper kavana for when we do the mitzvah. It's the hachana el ha-mitzvah. And that's what this Lo Shachachti is obviously the bracha wasn't, you know, invented by the Torah Shebichsav. It's not a mitzvah from Torah Shebichsav. It's from Chazal, the Brachas HaMitzvos. But this concept, this bigger and larger concept of what the bracha represents, to have a chavivus HaMitzvah, to go ahead and have a hachana el HaMitzvah, so you can do the mitzvah properly. That's Lo Shachachti. The person who did the maestros, he did it properly. He's saying, I did everything. I didn't just do the mitzvah. We can just do mitzvahs. We don't check it off the box. Yes, today I went ahead and I did a chesed. But no, how did you feel when you did it? Were you totally focused on it? Were you into it? Were you excited about it? Did you want to be doing it? Where was your head at? What was important at the time? What were you thinking about? So that's really what the Sfas Emes goes ahead and tells us. We learn from Lo Shachachti Lo Recha, teaches us a lot more than just a bracha. It's going ahead and having a frame of mind and a mindset of a simcha when we do mitzvahs, of being prepared and understanding we're serving the Ribbono Shel Olam when we do mitzvahs. It's not just a routine, oh, it's another day and I'm going to do another mitzvah kind of thing. No, it's much more geschmack than that. We're fulfilling our tafkin and purpose in the world. That's what the Sfas Emes says in source number 7. Moving on to source number 8. So this is a piece, actually, Rabbi Biederman quoted this, but I brought the Makar inside. So the Parshas Kisavo in Perikov Zion, Pasuk Yibbeis, so talking about the, like I mentioned earlier, in the Hakdama. So it talks about the Brachos and the Hargrizim and Harival. So Eli Yamdu Levarech Esa'am, Al Hagrizim be'Avrachem es Hardin Shimon v'Levi v'Yehuda v'Yisachar v'Yosef u'v'Binyamin. So this is when you cross the Hardin. The following shall stand upon the Hargrizim. So the Shvatim. Rashi says Kidiita v'Masechah Sota Shisha Shvatim alu Rosh Hargrizim. Six Shvatim went ahead and stood on Hargrizim. V'Shisha Rosh Al Harival and six went to Harival. V'Hakohanim v'Leviim v'Aron l'mata be'emtzah. And the Kohanim, Leviim, and the Aaron were in the middle, like the valley, I guess, you know, in between the two mountains. Hafchu Leviim Pneim Klape Hargizim Pasul Bracha Baracha Isha Shaliasa Pesel Masicha. So this is how the process. This is how these brachas and klalos went down. This is what happened. The Leviim would go ahead. They turned towards Hargizim and they started off with a bracha. Bracha, bracha to a person. Blessed be the man who doesn't make a graven or molten image. And then it goes on. And then the people in Harival said Amen. And it goes on with the rest of the. Towards the procedure, the Levim turns towards Harival, etc. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, in the Drushim, in the back of Darash Moshe, it's not on the Parshan, Parshas Kisavo, but in Drushim Beis, Rav Moshe number 9, source number 9 we're going to go through, he asks Akasha, a person should get a bracha for the fact that he didn't serve Avodah Zarah? I mean, Shkoyach, he didn't serve Avodah Zarah. Why is that a bracha? If you serve Avodah Zarah, Arur, you should be cursed. Fine. But the fact, the bracha baruch ha'isha sheliyasa pesel masecha, blessed be the man who doesn't make a graven or molten image. What's pshat? So look at source number 9. Says Rav Moshe tachas shelavada sherem shigam simcha rov to love. So this is later on, and we're going to get to it soon. Kodem Rosh Hashanah tzarich likro b'chrachos uklos. So we know the Gemara tells us that you have to go ahead and read the brachos and the klalos before Rosh Hashanah. Kisavo always has to read before Rosh Hashanah, which means if we're reading Kisavo, we're really closing in on Rosh Hashanah. It's a little scary, 2 weeks away. But this is that's what the Gemara says, that's how the parshas were set up. Why? Leida be'ezet tina yitein lano shana tova. In order for us to know what condition we'll have a good year. Vita bakra tachas asher lavadata basimcha vaavadata sevecha shetmu lechura shevishish lo aver basimcha yetnash kacha vihine amur. So he goes, okay, he mentions that. He says, vihine, this is where he quotes our pasuk. Our Rashi quoted from Gemara and Sota, but the pasuk in our parsha. So he says, vihine, amu baruch asher liasa pesel. The Levim give a bracha to the person who didn't make an idol. Shetamua, madua zachal bracha ide she'eno mamin be'etz ve'evin. Ramosha asks, what's this guy zochata bracha for the fact that he didn't believe in a rock being his god, and the fact that he didn't believe a tree was his god? I mean, shkoyach, he should be commended for that? I mean, okay, it's like neutral, it's pyrev. It's not, it doesn't say he served Hashem, it says he didn't serve a rock. He didn't serve a pesel. Aval ha-nachon she-tzarich ha-adam leida she-Hashem echad v'hu ha-sholeach parnasa kefi she-kotzov kol echad. Person needs to know, says Rav Moshe, that Hashem is the ultimate, the one, the only one, and he's the one that gives a person his parnasa exactly how much he should have. Rak shemuchrech lasos machmas gzeiras b'zeiras apecha. Person has to work for a living because of the gzeira on Odom Arishon b'zeiras apecha. Aval harevach hu rak me'Hashem yisbarach. But how much you're going to make, that's not based upon the fact that you're working or not working, and because you're working so hard or have this job or that job. That's from Hashem. You're not going to have a penny more if you work the whole week without a break and on Shabbos. You're going to violate Yisurim. You're only going to have almost of a tzar. You're going to have problems by doing so. So Ramosha goes on, he develops this piece even further, but the idea is that, yeah, if a person goes ahead and believes in Eitzva Evan, meaning they don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what it's saying. They believe in something other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact that you don't do that, the fact that you don't believe in something other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu being in charge, is a Shevach. That's what it is. The Eitzva Evan, the Pesel, the pesel and the masecha, that is the fact that you go ahead, a person doesn't believe in those, means the implication is that then he believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He realizes everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? If we look at that Rashi again, lo yaseh baruch ha'ish asher lo yaseh pesel u'masecha. So that's exactly why the person is praised, because they didn't go ahead and they didn't believe in a pesel masecha. Instead, they believe that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem is the one, their mamash ba'al emuna, and realizing that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's source number 9. Source number 10, 11, and 12 we'll go through, and then one more idea, and we will wrap up for tonight. So source number 10, later on in the Parsha Perek Ches, Pasuk tells us the following. V'osircha, this is by the brachos. So the Pasuk tells us, Yid Aleph, V'osircha adonai tova. The free vitnecha for your emtecha for your masecha al ha'adama asher nishba adonai v'sech la'asislach yiftach adonai l'cha asara tov asashmayim v'spisukim atzim for me l'asis mitar tzecha v'yitol v'rechis kol ma'asi adecha v'visa goyim rabim v'atal lo tzilve v'nisancha adonai l'rosh v'lo l'zana v'yisa rak l'mal v'osiyah l'mata kishishmas mitzvah sanay l'echa shenach mitzach ha'yil nishmo l'asos. Right, all these good things are going to happen. Hashem will grant you a great surplus and fruit of your womb and the fruit of your livestock and the fruit of your land and your soil, everything that you're going to have, and Hashem will open up his treasury for you from the heaven. He's going to give you good rains, he's going to give you all the brachos, and you will lend many nations, but you won't need to borrow from anybody, you're going to have a lot. And then the pasuk says something very peculiar at first. And Hashem will set you at the head, and not at the tail, okay, so you'll be in the front. Rak l'malo v'lo tia l'mata, and you will be only at the top, and you will not be at the bottom. So what does that mean? You will only be at the top and not at the bottom. So Prashup Shad is that it's a bracha to Klal Yisrael as a whole. It is saying that Bnei Yisrael is going to be at the top, meaning they're not going to be at the bottom, they're not going to be a downtrodden nation, they're going to be thriving, they're going to be flourishing, we're going to be accomplishing. Rapam had a different way of understanding this. Rapam said, Rak Lamala Velotia Lamata is a bracha that you will be focused on things that are Lamala in life. Not lamala as in shemayim, although that's a nice pshat. Lamala as in things that are important, things that are significant. Velo lamata, that you're not going to get caught up with the trivial matters and the things that are not important in life. You will be able to focus yourselves on the big goals in life and accomplish them. That's what the bracha is. And that's a beautiful bracha, because in our lives, we know we get so confused. We're always confused. Who's the balabas in our lives? Is it the guf? Is it the neshama? Is it me drawn after my material, you know, pleasures and instincts and desires? Or is it my soul that wants to constantly cleave Takarish Baruch Hu and do mitzvahs? And there's a constant battle between the guf and the neshama. And who's the balabas? Who's driving my life? Who is in charge? Is it my neshama? Hopefully. The bracha here is that you should be lamali, you should be focused on important things. Don't get caught up with the pettiness, the things in the world, like my house, the size of my house, and the type of car I drive, and how much money I make, and all those things that are not important in life. They shouldn't, lo lamata, don't focus on them. Should be lamala. And if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin and the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam echoes these sentiments as well. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin and Mezuzah, really it's Hilchos Mezuzah, but they're lumped together. So Rambam says, Chayev Odom Lizar B'Mezuzah Neshi Chovas Hakol Tomid. You have to be very careful in it, because it's a constant obligation. So a person should go ahead, and when they see a mezuzah and they touch the mezuzah, they should go ahead and they should think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember Avas Hashem, remember, and they should wake up from their sleep, and they should, you know, and forget about all the things that waste time. So that's the purpose of mezuzah. You know, how often do we think about this? Yeah, well, you're taught as a kid, you kiss the mezuzah. Or you look at the mezuzah, or you touch the mezuzah, whatever it is. But every time you do it, says the Rambam, a person has to go ahead and think about the Avos Hashem. Has to think about the fact that, and get their focused priorities. Get, as the Pasuk says, Rak l'mala v'losi l'mata. Have the important things in life focused on those matters, and not the things that are petty and that are trivial and that are not important in the mundane matters of life that we sometimes get confused and caught up with. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva as well tells us that that's the purpose of shofar and tshuva as well. So he says, famous Rambam, Perek Yom Alach HaDalit, and Hilchos Tshuva, Avah Pishtiya Shefer Rosh Hashanah Xeris HaKasav, even though the reason we blow shofar is because the Torah tells us to, and it's Mefarsh Pasuk that we have to blow shofar, Yesh Bo, there's a Remez. Klomar Uri Yeshena Meshen Aschem, and Yerdomim Kekitzim Tardem Sechem, V'chipsu V'maseichem V'chizru B'tshuv V'zichru Barachem. He says there's a hint, and he says this idea, you should wake up from your sleep, and the people who are in these deep slumbers should get up and jump up, and search your actions, and return to Hashem, do tshuva, and remember Hashem. Elu ashochim es ha-emes behev le-azman v'shoikim kol shenasam behev avarik asher lo yoyo v'lo yatsil habitu l'nasho seichem v'etivin darchechem al-aleichem v'yazav kolechem mekem darko ha-roh ma'chshavas asher lo tova. So the Rambam here uses the same lashon, this idea of hev le-hazman. Over here he uses it in Hilchos by Tfilin, people who just, you know, waste their time, get caught up with the narishkeit, the fruitless, you know, dumb things in the world. So a person needs to turn away from those things. And that's what Rav Ham explained is the lamata. The bracha is that a person should go ahead and be focused on the things that are important, things that are significant in life, things that are real, not things that are lamata. We should be able to move away from those. And we'll conclude tonight, as I said before, as I started really, and I think this could be the most important, powerful lesson for us, is in the middle of the Tochacha, so the Pasuk says, the reason that all these curses are going to come upon you. The pasuk says, "Perikav Ches Pasuk Mem Zayin, Tachas Asher Lo Avadat Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha B'Tuv Leiva Meirov Kol." Because you didn't serve Hashem with happiness and with gladness of heart when you had an abundance of everything. Meaning, you had everything, you had every right and every reason to be a happy person, and you weren't happy. You didn't serve Hashem properly. So again, the Baal Shem Tov didn't go ahead and create this idea of being happy. It's a mefurish pasuk that these curses come upon us. The pashup shat in the pasuk is because we didn't serve Hashem with a simcha. So you don't just see simcha as a nice external thing, and you know, those people who are happy when they do mitzvahs, good for them. I'm not like that. you see that Simcha is integral and part and parcel of a mitzvah itself. It's part and parcel of the way we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to be. What the Baal Shem Tov introduced to life, some say, I heard from one of my Rabbanim, is the idea of not just being b'simcha when you do mitzvos, but being b'simcha in life, all the time walking around with a huge smile on your face and being b'simcha. But this pasuk here is talking about serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and obviously you could say it's talking about all of life, because you want to be serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout your life, and you want to you want to know Hashem in all your ways and throughout your life. But what does this pasuk, really mean? How can we understand simcha being such an integral component for our Avodas Hashem, that these klalos, these 90 and 98 klalos, I think, come upon us if we don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha? And we'll see a couple pshatim, and then we'll be finished for tonight. But you just see, I mean, pashat pshat, the answer is that if a person isn't besimcha when they're doing something, it's not going to last. If a person isn't happy, they're just, it's gonna end off. If a person's in a marriage, chas v'shalom, and they're not happy, so unless things change, it's gonna go down a bad path. There's going to be a lot of fighting, and it might lead to a separation and a divorce, chas v'shalom, right? If a person's really unhappy, they have to be happy. Not every second of every moment of every day. Sometimes there will be sad times. But overall, you have to be a happy person. In every situation, if you don't like your job, you're unhappy at your job, it's not gonna last long. You know, you're gonna try to find another job, you're gonna get fired because you're gonna slack off. You have to be a happy person. So Tali Aras, we have a couple pshatim here, three pshatim, and we'll see what they say. They're short, they're sweet, they're gshmak. Says the Sfas Emes in the first, in source number 14, first pshat, Kasa Hatar Sibas HaGolos. So the Torah here is telling us the reason that we got exiled. Kadesh no dakitza takinis darkeno, kadesh niske lagula. The Torah here is teaching us how can we go ahead and mizocha to gula? How can we bring Mashiach? How can we be back in Eretz Yisrael to Beis HaMikdash? So the Torah is telling us that the reason we were sent to Golos is because you didn't serve Hashem with simcha. So we know now the opposite of that, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Baal HaGolos, b'shel ha'eder, v'simcha, v'avadis Hashem, the inverse will go ahead and bring the geula. If not being b'simcha is what brought the gullus and these clothes, then being b'simcha is what's going to go ahead and bring the geula. And Lior, I see that big smile. I know this is for you. This vart's for you. Because that's exactly what he says. And even when you're chayser, even when you don't have everything you want, everything you need in life, and you're b'yisurin, you just sometimes have your problems in life, even then being b'simcha, that's what's mamish going to bring the geula. Says the Kutzker in the next part, Hayitachin shiagil adam onchim kachamurim, because of tocha, these terrible punishments will fall a person. Rak b'glal shalaya b'dregesh ha-simcha. So he says, is it possible that these terrible things are going to happen to that person because they didn't serve Hashem with simcha? Says the Katzker, Baram kavanas akasad laichiyach ha-sa'odam, shelo dai shinmim ha-mili avaris Hashem, elo od haya shoye b'simcha v'tov leba b'shel prikus ha-ol. It's not enough that you serve Hashem, but you have to be happy that you have the old mitzvahs and the old Torah upon yourself. Al-kach be'emes magila anisho koshos. And if not, if you look at it all as a burden, you say, oh, it's hard to be a yid. It's hard to keep the mitzvahs. It's too expensive. My school tuitions, I can't. This is too much for me. Yeshiva, too much learning, dual curriculum for the kids. Kids are complaining and kvetching. And then, yeah, you're not doing it b'simcha. It's an ol. It's mamish, a burden. That's going to be a problem. You need to go ahead and take and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a simcha. And yes, the simcha is so important that without it, it can lead to the gullus. And the last idea from Pravarsky, so he says as follows. Perish advarim hu ki im lo oved ha-adam es Hashem yisbarach b'simcha, ein zos elam yishum shiyesh lo smachos acheros. If a person doesn't serve Hashem with simcha, why is it? It's because he has other things in life that are making him happy. He's getting his pleasures and joys in life not from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but from the gashmias in the world, from his big TV, from the baseball games, from whatever, you know, the movies he watches, whatever it is that he's into, that's where he's getting his simcha. Medvarm she'osam huchamin mitzapi lahem v'ro'a behem ikar. He thinks those are his priorities in life. Those are what's lamala to him, not the ribono shel olam, not the significant purposes in the world and the reasons we're here to live, to serve and to be besimcha and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to have something that's eternal, chelik and olam haba, by going ahead and learning Torah and doing mitzvos. The heim and asunim lo asa simcha. Those other things are what's giving him simcha. The alkach magiyah sheyanish. So yeah, it's appropriate he should go ahead. He's gonna get these sins. Kasher einu roes haikar ba'avodas Hashem yisbarach v'kim mitzvosav. When he doesn't fill it properly, he's not getting a simcha from Avodas Hashem. He's getting a simcha from something else. I guess Rafarsky's assuming that a person has to have simcha in life. It's part of life. It's an emotion. You're going to get it somewhere. You're going to look for it elsewhere if it's not going to be from your Avodas Hashem. And that's the problem. That's another pshat I once heard, is that tachas asher lo avadata Hashem lekecha v'simcha tu levov. In the last 30 seconds, the way we can understand that is saying that it's because you didn't serve Hashem with joy. Not with joy. It depends. You could read it two different ways. Not that you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with simcha, but that you were happy that you didn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that actually makes more sense, right? With why the klalos are so harsh. If you say it means because you didn't serve Hashem and you were happy about that, tachas asher lo avadata asher shelo kecha, kama bisimcha, you did that all with joy. You didn't serve Hashem and that was done with joy. That's why all these klalos are coming upon you. That was a different word I once heard. And that's the biggest sod in life, is that, when you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just that it has to be Simcha B'Avodas Hashem. But you also, if a person, does Chas V'Sholom something that's not Aderach Hashem, we all do Averos, unfortunately. We're human beings. But if you do that B'Simcha, if you don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it's B'Simcha, that's the worst. Then you're getting your Geshmak in life from Mamish, the opposite of Avodas Hashem. And that's a big problem. And that's when the klalos will come upon us. And so, chas v'shalom, we should ever, have these klalos, and we should really have the brachos that are mentioned earlier in the parsha, and be focused on serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. We makir tov tashem for all the good that He does to us, and just live our lives b'simcha for all the goodness we have, for the ability to be l'am anivchar, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all the beautiful mitzvahs that we do have, with all the greatness, the breath of life, the fact that we walk, that we see, that we talk, all the kaychas, all the amazing things Hashem gave us. We should just be b'simcha that we're alive, another day to breathe, a breath to take without wearing a mask in the hospital, chas v'shalom. And we should all be zeicha to that continued bracha and simcha and hatzlacha in life, and have a wonderful and a beautiful Shabbos. Thank you all for joining.